Well,
Hello,
hello everybody.
everybody. You'll go.
We can't remember who's saying hello this morning. Definitely me.
I can't remember.
Right.
We, the royal we.
We, the royal we. So, hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week, the 328th one of our Turning Towards Life conversation. And it is very, very wonderful, as always, to be here with you, Lizzie. I'm feeling very excited and delighted and noticing how hard it was to get up this morning. I feel like I've had a very, very slow start, but now we're here together. It's amazing the what it is to be with other people that we care about and in things that we care about. I can feel my own aliveness flowing back into me as we begin, which is very welcome. And we're here for another week of conversation. So welcome to all of you who are with us, alongside us. Some of you who have been here for 328 weeks, and many, many other people who have also found your way to us along the way. And you're all equally welcome, whether you're with us live on Facebook on a Sunday morning UK time, or in a podcast, or on our Turning Towards Life website, or on Spotify or YouTube, or all the different places you can find us. You're very welcome to be here. And Lizzie, as always, we have a source that's going to flow into this conversation, which you've chosen this week. And I'm feeling very grateful for this particular source, actually, both because of its wonderfulness and also because I have the experience that you often talk about of reading it and initially feeling, gosh, I have no idea really what we're going to say about this. And that's I think for me, this sense of this being a practice of acting into life, acting into the unknown together, because we really have no idea what will come. And so it's a practice in faithfulness in one another, of course, but faithfulness in life and faithfulness in practice itself, structure and practice, and faithfulness in our own hearts and minds and bodies, and also all the support that we have around us. I particularly feel that when we begin with something that I don't exactly know where to begin with it. So thank you.
And I'm just sniggering at myself because for everybody listening, before we begin, Justin or I declares, right, you start and then you monitor the time. Like we have these two little roles that we do. And Justin has just said to me, right, Lizzie, I'm starting and you monitor the time. And then I started. And I feel like my tiredness is showing through because literally you just said that to me, Justin, and I didn't do the thing you said. And so I'm really tired. And I just want to say, if anyone is listening who is a mother and or a father, but particularly a mother or a primary caregiver of a newborn child in the night, I want to thank you for doing everything that is necessary to get through a night and appreciate how much of that is going on in the world. And nobody ever really talks about it. It's hardcore. Getting up multiple times in the night and doing a job that needs doing of feeding a baby, it's a thing. And you know, not just feeding, but like all the things that happen around it. So anyway, I'm just sitting here in appreciation of that in this moment for myself and anybody else who's up to that or has ever done that in their lives. I walk around the streets at the moment, and anyone who has a child with them, I'm kind of bowing to them with respect because it's such a thing. Anyway, please take a minute for yourself. Of my appreciation to you, if that's what your life is like at the moment or ever has been. I don't think it ever leaves us that that's happened. It's amazing. So, really glad to be here. I can feel myself too, Justin, going, oh gosh, that's really hard to get up this morning. But I was up hours ago, you know, but it's still hard to get up and step into life from delirium into a different kind of waking delirium. So, hopefully, I'll get a nap today at some point. But in the meanwhile, we've got this really intriguing poem called Scaffolding by Seamus Heaney. And I read it, Justin, too, and thought, my gosh, what is that? But I found a thread of what I received from it where I can begin, which I think is all I have as a requirement is, can I find a small, tiny thread? And then when I start talking, I'm sure something will come because there's something here. I can feel there's something. But I too am confounded as well. Confounded and also curious and wondering and seeing what there is to say about this. It's going to be really wonderful. So thank you. And thank you for allowing it to be that I know you relate to it like this, that you're willing to be curious, because otherwise I'd be searching for sources that I knew you'd get immediately or something, you know. And so I feel grateful for that thing you were talking about, that we're willing to go into this because of everything that is around us and who we are, so that we can choose things that feel out of sight immediately and that we can find our way. And this is one of those ones. So here we go, Scaffolding by Seamus Heaney. Masons, when they start upon a building, are careful to test out the scaffolding. Make sure that planks won't slip at busy points, secure all ladders, tighten bolted joints. And yet all this comes down when the job's done, showing off walls of sure and solid stone. So if, my dear, there sometimes seems to be old bridges breaking between you and me, never fear. We may let the scaffolds fall, confident that we have built our wall.
I see. Scaffolding. Masons, when they start upon a building, are careful to test out the scaffolding. Make sure that planks won't slip at busy points. Secure all ladders. Tighten bolted joints. And yet all this comes down when the job's done, showing off walls of sure and solid stone. So if, my dear, there sometimes seem to be old bridges breaking between you and me, never fear, we may let the scaffolds fall. Confident that we have built our wall.
Hey, Justin. So when I read this, what happened is a great wondering about what's going on through the building of relationships or systems or structures or anything that's enduring. And what's there when the means by which it got there fall away in any way? Like, what have we made? Like, what gets made in a relationship? What gets made in an organization? What gets made in a system, in a marriage, in a parent-child relationship? What gets made so that when things do fall or do break or become unobvious, what's still there that we will really fight for? Like, there's so many times when things feel really broken, and we'll go to the ends of the earth to stay, to make it okay, to restore something. And we're so brave if we participate in any healing. And I got really curious as to the, for the sake of what am I doing healing? For the sake of what am I restoring something? And I don't know the answer to that, but I can feel it. You know, I can feel the substance of things that have been made in the world because of humans doing things together. And so this line about letting scaffolding fall, confident that we've built our wall. That wall, that's something that we've made together. When the bridges break, something will be revealed to us, which we may not have seen before. But it's there, it's definitely there. And what is that thing that's there between us? If you just take yours and my relationship, Justin, there's something there that we would wish. If something broke between you and I, we would do something in service of the thing that we've made over time. And maybe not over much time at all, even. Like, I could have met you 3 days ago and think, oh no, but I really want to stay in relationship with that person. What is the reason I want to do that? But it's really strong. And in organizations, there's things to be saved. There's things to be brought back to health again, because we know the essence of them. We know the self, the big S self of something. And that's what this poem threw me into, was, well, what is that? What is that that gets made in a marriage or a group or anything where there's human relationships and things are being made? What is that that we would see, feel, know was there when the scaffolding fell down? The things that, and I seeing the scaffolding as what helped it get made.
It's lovely hearing you talk about all of this, Lizzie. And actually, I had all kinds of things to say, but they've been eclipsed for the moment simply by my feelings of great joy at being with you and thinking about all of the scaffolding, this practice of turning towards life, which is 6.5 years old, is one, you might say, is one kind of scaffolding. There have been many others, and you're speaking and just actually sitting here and looking at you is reminding me of something that I think is really at the heart of Seamus Heaney's poem here, which is that the scaffolding is never actually the thing in itself. So I was actually really feeling a very strong wave of gratitude for the thing in itself, which is our friendship. And even that's not really the best word for it, Lizzie, but. And then I'm feeling very tender about all of the, what Seamus Heaney calls our wall, but all of that with everyone that I know. And I went to see an amazing play last night. I went to see a play called Dear England, which is about the English football team and Gareth Southgate. And for any, I don't really know anything about football at all. And for anyone who ever gets to see the play, it's really a play about love, which is the most extraordinary thing. And there's this point where having really thought about what it is for a group of people to actually properly love one another, which is really odd in the world of football, apparently. Someone comes and asks and says, well, how come you're being so successful? Is it all the training you did and all the running around you did, all the practice you did, and Gareth Southgate's character? And it says, no, it's none of those things. And I think it's the same that really moved me when I saw it last night. I think it's the same thing. And the wonderful thing about Seamus Heaney's poem, the line that really touched me very deeply is actually where it's the right near the end where he says, if there sometimes seem to be old bridges breaking, never fear. And I think this part of it, there's so much in here that in order to make relationship, so that there is something that he calls a wall, and I might use lots of different words for it, but something solid and strong and reliable in the middle of it, there are actually a ton of things that we have to do, and that it's really important to attend to. Gestures we make, conversations we have, ways that we take care, practices that we might have, promises we keep, what we do when we break promises, all of those kind of things. And it's the same whether you're embarking on a friendship or a marriage or building an organization or joining an organization. We have all of this testing out the scaffolding, making sure the planks won't slip at busy joints, securing all the ladders. All of those things actually we must do. And there's two different angles on it. So one is we might then mistake that for the relationship itself. So If there comes a point, Lizzie, in our lives together where we're not having this conversation, one mistake, I think, from Seamus Heaney's point of view would be to mistake the conversation for the relationship. Oh, if we don't do this anymore, this has gone away. And Seamus Heaney invites us to look deeper at something that's really solid that's being built by it. So we might mistake the scaffolding for the relationship. So that's one side of it. But the other side of it I can see is, if we didn't build the scaffolding carefully, if we don't make sure the planks won't slip, if we don't secure the ladders and tighten the bolted joints, when all of that comes down, there's no job that's been done on the inside.
Mm.
So those, the way that we practice our way into relationships and communities and really matters. You could do it accidentally. Sometimes it works out. But actually, a lot of the time when it doesn't work out might well be because we didn't care for the formation of something very new and that could not stand on its own until it had been built from the inside, when it's really fine if all of the outside falls away. So all of that, I think this is why this is such an amazing poem, because in 10 or so very, very short lines, it invites all of this in us, certainly as in me.
Gosh, as you're speaking, Justin, it's having me acknowledge my belief in beginnings. Like, I think beginnings are like full, like PowerPoints of relationship. Like, the way something begins feels so important to me. Like, the way somebody gets welcomed into something they've never been in before, whether it's an organization or a home or anything, an encounter with another human being, the welcome, which is the beginning, which seems to me like a very clear way of this, the way that the scaffolding represents things in this poem. The scaffolding goes up first and then the work begins. And the fact that the scaffolding is there enables that any work to happen in the first place anyway, because there's height and treachery and whatever. We can't, gravity exists, so we can't just leap up and fix something. We have to have something to climb on. And I always think that beginnings, when they don't go well, it's so hard to build something by comparison to when they do go well. And I think that consciousness around beginnings, welcomings is so important. And I think often it gets taken for granted and people just get left to find their way that into a system or something. And I really think that it's a very, very big piece of this thing you're talking about, all of the practices and consciousness around how we enter into relationship and how we manage relationship, how we build relationship, how we consciously enable the wall to be built through the way that we're relating and being with one another. All of that consciousness and all of that language that we can put to what's happening and what happens between humans feels so important, so that something of substance can be made. And what the scaffolding is like determines the strength of the wall, the kind of wall that gets made, whether you want the wall at all to be part of your life once it's built. All of that is so completely determined by the way that the scaffolding is put up continuously. And I love that I now have this new metaphor of scaffolding and walls. Like, which bit are we attending to now? Because obviously the building of the wall really matters, but the scaffolding, without the scaffolding, we can't build something. And what is the scaffolding and what is the wall? And what are our practices around the wall so that the wall can be built the way that we intend? And how do we envisage what the wall wants to be? And then how do you set up the scaffolding to enable that as well? So like both ways round seem like they work.
It's very joyful for me to speak about. I'm thinking about Lizzie Excuse me, my chair is going down. I just need to adjust myself here. I'm thinking about some of the things we've discovered in third space that we discovered particular about I think what you're talking about is a real kind of care and intent deliberateness that we can bring to the way that we make relationship, and not just one on one, but that too, but also when we gather together as in groups. And I'm thinking about what we all the things that we learned and paid attention to when the pandemic came and we needed to figure out how to form groups online instead of the ordinary everyday being in person and jostling around one another's bodies in a room or something when a course begins or something like that, and how we discovered that something that makes an enormous difference when people gather, you know, everyone pops online on Zoom or something, is exactly what you're talking about and exactly what Seamus Heaney is talking about, that we really, everyone really benefits from our thinking about exactly how are we going to begin this? What is it going to be like to enter? What are we going to say to each person as they enter? What are our practices going to be? So any of us who've been in the Zoom world for a long time know that there's some pretty shocking practices that people have, you know, turning the cameras on and off so that they appear and disappear whilst you're in the middle of talking to people, and things move flying around on the screen, and you know, chat conversations going on whilst you're trying to talk, all these things that I think are what happens, and they're very disorientating and not welcoming when you join a situation like that. That they're examples of what happens for any of us when we don't do what Seamus Heaney is inviting us to do, which is to say, what scaffolding do we need to build here? How do we test that the planks won't slip at busy joints and secure all the ladders so that all of this can happen here, and that the more deliberate we can be, the more possibility there is for something to be built on the inside. And one of the things that I notice is how often people join us and get and say, gosh, I had no idea it would be possible to be online together and for it to be like this. Because it's relatively rare, of course, there are places, but it's relatively rare to attend in that way. And then I'm thinking about the board of trustees that I'm the chair of trustees on. We've got some new people about to join the trustees because we've got to that point in the year. And I'm thinking, as you're talking, well, we could just carry on just as we've been carrying on, and those people would have to just join the slipstream and figure it all out for themselves. Or we could, as we're going to, be incredibly deliberate about beginning and welcome and slow everything and everybody down so that we can feel the, you know, you might say, I'm thinking about it particularly because you might say, well, there's a group of, you know, 10 people who've been doing this for ages and 3 people who are joining, and the 10, well, what do they need all of this for? And the 3, they'll be fine. But actually, what we will do, because that's what I know to do, is this. We'll stop and we'll lay things out so everyone can stand on them and feel solid together. And nobody feels like they're scrabbling around, and nobody has to worry that the whole thing is about to come tumbling down. So I'm thinking about that. But then I'm also thinking about, in a sort of maybe slightly deeper way or slightly less obvious way, that also that Seamus Heaney is talking about the practices that we have, how we think about what we'll do when things do get shaky. So in any relationship, you know, I'm going to say something, make a promise to you sometimes, Lizzie, and somehow maybe not keep it well, but also not remember. If there's a promise to you I've got that I'm not going to be able to keep, I could have practices that would help tighten the joints. I could speak to you about it. I could let you know that although I promised this, now this isn't possible. Or I could try and pretend that everything's, oh, I've just forgot to do the thing that I told you I was going to do or something. I could have practices in my relationship with you that would be the opposite of securing the ladders and tightening the bolted joints. I could be careless or sloppy or inattentive in how I deal with all the inevitable things that happen in the middle of a life that means that I'm not exactly the person I promised I was going to be to you, or I'm not doing all the things. Or I could really commit to being deliberate and bring enormous care to think when I speak to you, when I promise to you, when I show up with you, I and we could really do with attending to the joints and the planks, so that we're not, you know, falling, you know, collapsing all the time and having to rebuild the whole thing. And that's how the solid thing gets built on the inside. So, and that's all of that's come from what you were saying. I think I was picking up, getting from you about, bless you, about the kind of deliberateness it takes. It doesn't, we can be deliberate, doesn't mean being, deliberateness can be incredibly love-filled and joy-filled and alive. Doesn't mean turning our relationships into something cold and rigid, quite the opposite. But gosh, you know, so as I'm speaking to you, I'm thinking about all the situations, or some of the situations in my life, where it turned out that there wasn't so much of a wall on the inside that we had built, and that very often we hadn't built it because we hadn't really done what we're being invited to by Seamus Heaney. We'd sort of been slapdash about, let's get this building up, or let's pretend to ourselves that there's a building going up on the inside, but actually mostly what we're doing is, you know, hanging off the scaffolding that's falling and dealing with that, when we could really be attending to what's between us.
Justin, when you talk like that, it reminds me of how, you know, when we've been in groups together and there's a welcome happening, and how impatient many of us get when welcoming is happening. Like, just get on with it. What's the actual thing? What's the wall itself? You know, and how we acknowledge that, and we'll say, even if you're feeling impatient, this is really important. This is the, you know, the welcome part. It really matters the way we do this kind of thing. And I feel like I'm in appreciation in this moment for what it takes to make a stand for this kind of welcoming, and how it's not separate from inclusion, that a really proper welcome includes outliers from any kind of norm. You know, proper welcome acknowledges whoever is there, whatever is there to be welcomed. And it doesn't, a really good welcome doesn't miss anybody out. It has a depth and a universality about it that allows somebody to find the ground, as you said, like a kind of reassurance that enables us to feel like the ground is solid here. Oh, I can stand here. I can sit here. I can be here. Something has been said or done that makes it okay to be here, and I feel safe. And then the really exciting bit for me is, because I know what it means to be good at that. I think we're good at that. The things that get built, the walls that get built inside that kind of scaffolding, are amazing. They're kind of what dreams are made of, the fantasies are made of. It's like, it's all possible when the container, when the scaffolding is healthy and robust, and the planks are in the right place, and we're not hanging on by our fingernails. What can get made there? What kind of creativity can well? What kind of eruption of our togetherness, and what can be made, feels so alive and exciting, because we're not expending a load of energy on, is this okay to be here? Are we okay? So my needs feel met, and then I can truly bring what there is to bring. And there's no distraction of, and if there is a distraction, there's a welcome for that distraction. but the power of being this kind of inclusive and welcoming to one another in terms of what can get made is extraordinary. And I think that's one of my kind of, for the sake of what that really matters to me, I'm realizing in this conversation, is that when we can build things, build containers, build structures that allow people to fully show up, and for the relationships to be erupting with goodness and trust and confidence between us, what can get made is so excellent. And that makes me really excited. And I think this is a small, what you and I have here, and what we're making here is a small structure that allows me to show up fully and allows you to show up fully and for us to have these kind of conversations where things get born that didn't, that hadn't been born before, because we managed to design the structure deliberately, as you said, that this is what we get to be. We get to show up with trust and curiosity and wonder and not knowing and aliveness, and we can fumble in and be a mess or have something excellent to say, and it can be funny or it can be difficult or it can be grief-filled, whatever. And what gets made, because all of that's possible, all those possibilities are laid out for us, feels very, very filled with life to me.
I love this language that you just brought in, Lizzie, of structures. Structures that make for safety, structures that make for welcome, structures that make for inclusion, structures that make it possible for us to disagree very strongly with one another and stay in, structures that allow for curiosity and love and creativity, that I think it's a callback to the deliberateness that you were talking about. We could come into life winging it always. And there is a, you know, there's wonderfulness in winging things. We do that because completely what we're up to here with Turning Towards Life is we're always winging it in one way. But in another way, we've been very, very, very careful to build a structure in which winging it is safe. You know, so I'm just thinking about here the deliberateness about how long these conversations are going to be, about who begins and who ends and how we know that we slow down and give lots and lots of space to one another and don't interrupt one another, apart from sometimes at the beginning, at the end, when we're sort of just, you know, sort of making, but when we're talking about the center piece, we're being very deliberately unhurried and attentive. And then there's all the other things to say about building trust and relationship between you and me that happens outside of this. But the deliberateness creates, exactly this amazing metaphor from Seamus Heaney, creates a scaffolding in which the thing that really matters can happen, that the scaffolding isn't the thing. Because the scaffolding isn't the thing, it would be easy to imagine we shouldn't have it. But boy, do we need it, because it's the only way that the thing gets built. And I was thinking again, as you were talking about this, so we've talked a little bit about the structures we build when we start a course and how we welcome and the practices we have, for example, when we're doing something online on Zoom. And then we've just been talking about you and I talking here. And I've talked a little bit about people joining a board of trustees of an organization and scaffolding we might bring. But I'm also just now thinking about this really applies everywhere. So what I do when I wake up in my household, when I meet my children for the first time in the morning as they've woken up, what kind of scaffolding have we built together that makes it possible for that beginning of the day to be welcome? And it might be in how we set what we say and how we carry ourselves, or how we got the house ready the night before in the morning, you know, that kind of thing. And then I'm also thinking about today, I have to make 3 phone calls, important ones. There'll be phone calls, I think. One of which is inviting somebody to do something that they might really want to do. One of which is asking somebody to do something that's really important that they probably don't want to do. And the other one is calling somebody to tell them that an opportunity that they were interested in isn't going to be available because the place has had to go to someone else. Now, I could just launch into all of those conversations, pick up the phone and sort of just chance it and see what's going to happen, which of course will be a big part of it. But I could also, and I will, make some scaffolding for it. So how I let the person know about the conversation before we meet, and the sort of design thinking I put into where's the place to begin, and what are the things that I might say, and where might be the spaces in the conversation for the other person to respond. All of that care can go into an ordinary, what might be just a complete chance encounter. And there's still room for all of the chance encounter in it, but it's not only chance. And we can do that everywhere. How we make a cup of tea for somebody we love, you know, how we talk to someone about something difficult can all have this kind of scaffolding and deliberateness to it if we choose. And I feel very deeply committed to that as well. Like in a way, it seems to me it's the thing that's been so easily eroded and so hard to remember. And as when the world gets frightening and we get lost and disconnected from one another, it may not be the first place that we go. And as Seamus Heaney reminds us, it probably is the first place we should go before any of the other stuff happens.
Oh, Justin, I think this is where we're going to finish in this section of our conversation. But I just want to say I'm filled with appreciation for all of the scaffolding that I've experienced in my life. I'm seeing it anew now. So, all the ways people have been conscious with me about how they care for me and how they interact with me, and all of that, and all of the thinking, and all of the kindness, and all of the goodness. And I'm amazed that this is all possible. Thank you for all of the ways that I know, Justin, you're a massive commitment to this, by the way. All of the ways that you talk about how to have conversations and how to design things for others so that this is all possible. I think you're a massive stand for that in all of your actions and intentions in the world. And I love that this is what got born out of this poem. And what I'm seeing now is that the nature of the scaffolding really, really determines the nature of the wall. And that we can have faith in that, in the building of the scaffolding in intentional ways will bring about wonderful walls in the world. So I'm really, again, feeling like, oh my gosh, we could talk about this forever. This could just be a whole year of talking about scaffolding and walls and how beautiful. And thank you to Seamus Heaney and who he has been in the world that allows us to be in this conversation. I love it that the human creative droplets get to expand through these conversations into the world. Really wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, all of you who have commented on anything on our podcast platforms or on Facebook. Thank you for emailing us. Thank you for sending us messages. Thank you for saying things to each other. It's a great joy for us, as we always say. And you can email us anytime, hello@turningtowards.life, and we would absolutely love to hear from you. And we'll be back next week with a source chosen by Justin. And in the meanwhile, everybody have a wonderful week.
Thanks, everyone.